In early 2021, reflecting on almost 1 year since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres stated, "Our world is facing a pandemic of human rights abuses." As the intergovernmental negotiating body at the World Health Organization draft and negotiate an international instrument on pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response, also known as the Pandemic Accord or Treaty, it's essential that human rights are at the center of its development throughout the negotiation process and in its content. In joining you today to discuss the promotion of human rights principles in this forthcoming WHO Pandemic Accord and civil society demands, expectations, and limitations, I want to highlight two key areas in terms of content of the accord, including access to health products and digital technologies, and to also discuss the application of human rights principles in the negotiation process of the accord. To start, it's important to highlight that overall, the accord should both enhance and complement existing obligations in international human rights law and standards, as well as reinforcing and amplifying existing human rights standards and obligations in global health. This includes ensuring that pandemic preparedness and response measures do not discriminate. The negative impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on criminalized and marginalized communities has been and continues to be significant. The accord should require states to take proactive measures to realize the human rights of individuals who are at a greater risk of human rights violations as members of a criminalized or marginalized community. This also means ensuring that any restrictive measures adopted to respond to pandemic threats and other public health emergencies comply with states' international human rights obligations and don't continue to be applied after the end of a pandemic. And then looking at access to health products, it's important that the accord reaffirms states' obligations in accordance with the right to health to ensure that access to all health products and services are available at scale, available in a timely manner, accessible to all, and affordable for everyone. The accord needs to emphasize that these obligations are heightened with an emerging public health threat, and states should be required to eliminate all trade barriers to access health products necessary to prevent, diagnose, and treat. In particular, the accord should emphasize that states are required to waive all intellectual property rights pertaining to essential diagnostics, medications, vaccines, therapeutics, and other relevant health products and services necessary to respond to pandemics. This should take place at the latest following the declaration of a public health emergency of international concern by the WHO. In addition, we need to ensure transparency of research and development costs, prices, clinical trials, and contracts, and ensure that any resulting technology is openly licensed. It's also important that the accord outlines support for the development of manufacturing capacity for health technologies in low and middle-income countries, as well as mechanisms for the necessary technology transfer. This is critical to enable countries to better fulfill the right to health. And on digital technologies, as they become increasingly central to pandemic preparedness and response, and recognizing that they were often hastily rolled out during the COVID-19 pandemic, the accord should promote a human rights-based approach, affirming states' obligations to optimize benefits and to mitigate risks such as data breaches, intrusive surveillance, bias and discrimination, and unequal access. The accord should mandate that the use of digital technologies only be deployed if there is sound evidence that it's effective at achieving health outcomes and must also include clear safeguards protecting individuals' privacy and confidentiality. Overall, the use of digital technologies during pandemics should fulfill the core components of the right to health. Finally, in order to ensure human rights are at the center of the Pandemic Accord, it is essential that the right to participation is recognized to ensure the full and meaningful participation of civil society and communities in the development, the negotiation, and future accountability mechanisms of the accord. communities and civil society have played a critical role in the COVID-19 response, as we see across global health responses, including the HIV response. This key role played by communities and civil society includes disseminating information, testing, and personal protective equipment, and ensuring vaccine distribution. If the proposed accord is to have any chance of addressing the most critical issues that will arise in future pandemics, it must embody and learn from the essential lessons learned through the work and experiences of civil society and communities. Participation throughout the process will help ensure the accord is fit for purpose, gender equitable, and grounded in human rights. It's therefore essential that we have a robust process allowing for this full, equal, meaningful, and effective participation of civil society and communities at the global, regional, national, and local level. There have been some initial steps to expand participation in the work of the intergovernmental negotiating body beyond those organizations in official relation with WHO. There have been two rounds of public hearings this year, and additional organizations have been included in Annex E of the modalities of engagement for relevant stakeholders. But it's important to note that this process of being included in Annex E currently requires member states to nominate organizations and is therefore a potential barrier to the full and meaningful participation of a broad range of civil society and community organizations. Going forward, the five stepping stones for better civil society engagement developed by the Office of the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights are an important tool. The steps outline the need for fair rules on access to information and participation modalities, transparent and fair accreditation and registration processes, diversity of civil society, including traditionally underrepresented populations, safety of persons who engage with international organizations, and mechanisms through which civil society can contest restrictions to participation. In June 2022, over 100 organizations made a similar call in terms of registration processes, calling on WHO to remove the requirement of official relations status to participate in the work of the intergovernmental negotiating body, to be replaced with an accessible accreditation process open to all civil society and communities. In addition, civil society and communities called for the provision of ample and consistent opportunities to submit written statements and recommendations, regular briefings for civil society and communities, and ensuring timely access to documents and providing, wherever necessary, interpretation and other services to ensure that all persons can enjoy full participation on a continuous basis. Going forward, it's essential to ensure that human rights are at the center of the pandemic accord, and to ensure that the modalities of engagement ensure the full and meaningful participation of civil society and communities in both the work of the intergovernmental negotiating body and future accountability of the mechanisms of the pandemic accord, as well as ensuring that member states also work with and consult with civil society and communities throughout the negotiation process. Thank you.